The work of an important under-recognized artist who played a key role in the development of modern sculpture is on display at the Pulitzer Arts Foundation. St. Louis On the Air contributor Steve Potter has details.
The artist is Medardo Rosso, and the exhibition The Pulitzer is the largest museum showing of his work to be presented in this country. Tamara Schenkenberg is associate curator at the Pulitzer, and she joins us now. Welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Great to be here.
Medardo Rosso was born in Italy. I know he lived in Paris for a couple of decades. He died in 1928 at the age of 68, and there hasn't been an exhibition of his work in something like, what, 50 years?
Mm-hmm. The last one was in 1963 at the Museum of Modern Art. And while there have been small exhibitions, this is the first large-scale exhibition since that time period. And he's known primarily as a sculptor, but he also drew and made experimental photographs. And so at the Pulitzer right now, we have a very comprehensive view of his practice, and we're excited to bring it to our St. Louis audiences, especially because there's major loans in the show from all over the world, including European museums that have never lent before to institutions in the United States.
It's a large exhibition, I think 90 pieces, and does it not fill the entire Pulitzer? And is that normal for you to do, to dedicate the entire building to one exhibition?
We've done it in the past, but not to this extent. It's certainly one of the most, if not the most, ambitious exhibition we've done. And what's exciting is that you can only see this work at the Pulitzer. It's not traveling anywhere else. So it's an important artist and something that can be only seen at the Pulitzer.
And you co-curated this with another individual. Who's that?
Her name is Sharon Hecker. She's one of the foremost experts of Rosso's work. She's writing a biography of his life and work that will come out. It was just a great collaboration to have somebody who's studied him extensively and then to have this work come to the building.
Did you personally have an interest in his work before this?
Yes. My background is in early 20th, late 19th century work. And Rosso, although he's not a household name, is a really important artist. So right. It was really meaningful to dig deep and start to understand his work.
Well, the exhibition at the Pulitzer will be up until May the 13th, and you call it Experiments in Light and Form.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you call it that?
Well, it has to do with the artist himself and the fact that, like you mentioned, he was in Paris at the turn of the century, at the time of Rodin and Degas. He was rubbing elbows with some of the most important artists, critics of the day, and he wanted to do something that was very innovative. He was a part of that whole circle who wanted to create modern art for the new age. And experimental approach to art making was one way to do that.
Well, you make the point that he's not well known today. Was he more well known when he was alive and producing?
It's interesting. In the lead up to the exhibition, we were sort of quipping that he's the most important impressionist artist you've never heard of. And at the time, you know, he was showing in the independent exhibitions along with the impressionists. He was being collected by some of the major patrons. He was written up in the press. And Georges Clemenceau, who was the prime minister of France in the First World War, and he was buying art for the French state, he bought all the Monets for the French state, for example. He also bought Rosso. So he was known in these sophisticated art circles, but he certainly did not have a career that he'd hoped to have. And a part of that is due to the fact that he was so ahead of his time, and we're now just catching up to him and what he was doing.
Ahead of his time stylistically, you mean?
Stylistically, formally, also in terms of subject matter. You know, this is late 19th century, and sculpture is depicting biblical figures, mythological figures, and he's showing anti-heroes. He's showing and casting modern subjects.
And it's not beautiful, perfect-looking sculpture, if you know what I mean.
Exactly, exactly. So it's subject matter. It's the material as well. And I think that's very important to talk about his materials and how he makes sculptures as well.
I'm glad you said that, because you've said that sculpture is the most material of art forms, yet Rosso's work is described as dematerialized. So can you explain that to me?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So as I mentioned, you know, it's sort of anti-heroic in terms of subject matter, and it's relatively small for sculpture, too. It's only about 2 feet tall. So the
most
listeners
of his work?
Yeah, most of his work. So the listeners can just sort of picture what it looks like. And then at the time period, you know, sculpture is supposed to be polished. It's supposed to be, you know, highly finished. And that's what makes it seem so present and so material in space. And he wanted to create something that appeared more fluid, more in flux, something that felt more alive. And so that had to do with the way in which he then started to handle materials. The materials he worked with were plaster, wax, and bronze. And normally what a sculptor would do would be to create a model and then send it to a professional foundry. And then these craftsmen would make something that looked very, very highly rendered. And he starts casting himself in his studio, which is not very easy to do, especially with bronze, which requires high temperatures. But what that allows him is to take control over the casting process, and he can interrupt it and manipulate it in different ways. So instead of highly polished surfaces, you get highly unconventional surfaces that are studded with gashes, with air bubbles, with holes.
Which was not typical at the time.
It was not only not typical, it was unacceptable. To a 19th century eye, these would have been flaws, but they were expressions of his material experiments. And, you know, one person's flaws are other person's, you know, perfections. And these were just things that made sculpture feel alive and feel very modern.
And his subject matter primarily was everyday people.
Everyday people, yes. In the exhibition, you will see sculptures of women and children, of the elderly, of people he knew, portraits of his friends and acquaintances. And what he was really after was to capture emotion, so express states of joy, of sadness, of melancholy. Again, not biblical or mythological protagonists, just people in the everyday that he wanted to render in an extraordinary way.
You said the look of his work was sort of unacceptable mm-hmm. at the time. So did he – I imagine he got a lot of pushback, did he?
You know, some pushback, but really indifference for
most part. That's worse.
It is worse in a way, which is going back to why you may not have heard of him and why he's very important for the development of modern art.
Are you alone in feeling he's important? I'm being sarcastic. I just wonder why there hasn't been an exhibition in 50 years.
Sure. Well, I think a lot of it has to do with these experiments that he was trying to make and us just catching up now to really the radical ways in which he was defining art. The other reason was, I think, as you mentioned, he was born in Italy and he made his career and spent three formative decades in Paris. And there was a great deal of xenophobia in Paris, and being a foreign-born artist, you know, it was difficult for a foreign-born artist to excel in that environment. And then it was a very overcrowded field as well, with a lot of artists vying for attention. And so all of that kind of comes together. He also had a very colorful personality, which I always think about.
I want to get to that in just a minute. We're talking with Tamara Schenkenberg. She's associate curator at the Pulitzer Arts Foundation. And their current exhibition is Medardo Rosso, Experiments in Light and Form. Now, the exhibition that you have at the Pulitzer primarily, I think, is the work that he did in Paris. What sets that work apart from his other work?
Initially, when he started to work, his work was highly realist and would be rendered, you know, fairly conventionally. But then once he goes to Paris, he starts thinking about working on sculptures in a very different way and trying to express instead how the eye really sees in the world. So moving away from the static nature of sculptures to something that has vitality and feels more vibrant. And he wants to do it in a way that nobody had done it before. You know, he was a very ambitious guy. So he adopts these casting methods, as we talked about before.
Well, the first piece of Rosso's work you see when you enter the Pulitzer is the head of a woman.
Yes. And she's not a goddess. She's a door woman. So it's sort of appropriate for her to
be a
door woman, a concierge.
Oh.
It's sort of appropriate that she's the first person you see to greet the visitor. And he renders her in a sort of a melancholy way and breaks up the surfaces of the sculpture in order to make them receptive to light.
Speaking of light, in the main gallery of the Pulitzer, there's a lot of glass,
yes.
A lot of windows. This was hard for me to wrap my head around because when I think of sculpture, I never think of light affecting the way I view sculpture. I never thought of that before. But that's very important in this case. So explain that.
Absolutely. This is why it's so important to really see this exhibition, I think, as well. So Rosso, as an artist, was extremely interested in light. And he said that a work of art that does not concern itself with light has no right to exist. That's an actual quote. And so we wanted to honor that through the installation by putting it in conversation with the building, which, like you said, is really characterized through this abundance of natural light. And when you come to the Pulitzer, if you've never been there before, the building is designed by Tadao Ando, who's a Pritzker Prize-winning architect from Japan. And you see the light change. You experience it differently depending on whether you're there in the morning or the afternoon, depending on weather or the different seasons. And it's a very poetic space, rich with atmospheric effects, and you can really observe the passage of time. And because of the changing light, you will experience the work differently depending on when you come, because Rosso is animating the surfaces. He's making them receptive to light. And so if you have a lot of light, you will see it in a very different way than if it's an overcast day, for example.
There's another way light figures into this. I think it might be in the downstairs galleries, but don't you have an area where I think we as viewers of the exhibition can somehow affect the light and play with that?
Absolutely. So in addition to galleries that have a preponderance of natural light, we also have something called the light room, where the visitor walks in and you only are presented with a single sculpture. And then there's a handheld device that you can use to modify how light falls on sculpture. And you can really change the angles and the intensity of light. And it's really remarkable to see how your perception shifts and changes depending on that play of light.
Well, in addition to the sculpture, I know you also have some of his photography and drawings. And he even takes photographs of his drawings. What's the point of that?
Yes. So he's a very unconventional artist. His sculptures work in the same way, actually, as well. Over the course of his career, he develops and creates 50 subjects that he revisits and recasts over and over again. So he returns to them sometimes over the course of many years, and he makes them in different materials. And he does the same thing with photographs. He photographs his own sculptures and does them over and over again under different lighting conditions, using different techniques and processes. And it's about trying to understand how the eye sees and how it perceives sculpture and the world around us.
Uh-huh. Tamara, you said something just a moment ago about his, I think you're referring to his personality or something, but what can you tell me about Medardo Rosso, the man? He was somewhat the rebel, I guess. I know in school he was expelled. I know he got into a physical fight with someone. I'm not sure if it was about art.
It was about art. Art was very important for him. Yes, he refused to be pinned down. One of my favorite anecdotes is that he claimed to have been born on a train. And as a son of a station master, that certainly could have been true. But he didn't want to belong to any particular nationality or any particular place. Because of his innovations, you know, he's certainly aligned with Impressionism, but he doesn't fit neatly into that category.
I was gonna use that word to describe his sculpture. Yeah.
Yes. So he doesn't really belong anywhere, which makes his legacy a little bit difficult, going back to why isn't he a household name. But it makes him a profoundly interesting artist, and he's certainly very rebellious, too.
Hurt his career, his confrontational attitude?
Yes, and confrontational is such a strong word to use. I think he certainly was very idiosyncratic and had strong beliefs. And the reason he was expelled from school is because he refused to draw from casts, you know, and he wanted to draw from live models. And so he started this petition, and a fellow student refused to sign it, and so he punched him in the face and got expelled. But it was all, you know, it wasn't impulsive in a sense that it was, you know, about himself. It was in the pursuit of good art, as he would say.
An eccentric artist, then, and that wouldn't be a first.
Absolutely not, yeah.
You've also produced an audio tour. How do we use that?
Yeah, so at the Pulitzer, we don't really have labels in the galleries, and that might be a little unusual generally, we try to invite visitors to first look very closely at the art and for the first encounter to be direct and immediate with the object in front of them. And then we offer catalogs that are free in order to provide that historical context, which is very important. And then in addition to that, for this exhibition, we're also offering this audio guide to give our visitors more insight into Rosso, his time, his work.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned this exhibition will not tour when this is over. So to recap, what's the significance of this exhibition in St. Louis, and why do you think people should be motivated to see it? And I always like to ask, when we're talking about art, you know, what you kind of go away with, if you leave with a certain feeling or how it inspires you. What do you think?
Sure. Yes, I think he's a very important artist. Along with Rodin, he's considered the founder of Impressionist sculpture, so certainly an important artist. And if you don't know him, it'll be a revelation for you to see him at the Pulitzer, where, you know, light is treated as material, and he also treats lights as material. So it's really a magical, poetic way to encounter this artist's work. And if you do know him, you'll experience him in a different way. And as I mentioned, we have major loans, and this will not be repeated anytime soon. It's a rare opportunity and perhaps even a lifetime opportunity to see Rosso's work.
Well, thank you for sharing your passion about an artist that most of us don't know anything about. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
That was Pulitzer Arts Foundation Associate Curator Tamara Schenkenberg speaking with Steve Potter. The exhibition she co-curated, Medardo Rosso, Experiments in Light and Form, is on display at the Pulitzer through May 13th. You can find more information at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.